Welcome to the MMA Road. You totally just moved your mic.
But I was still thinking about Kit Kats.
Starting to get.
That's so good.
Welcome to the MMA Road Show, episode number 71. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me. We are in Provo, Utah. That's right. Not Salt Lake City, Utah, which is where you might have expected us to be. We are at the Provo Marriott. Of course, this week it's UFC Fight Night 92, Rodriguez versus Caceres. We are on the road, as we always are, doing things up. We're at the Marriott tonight. Cold Coffee, we were supposed to be around the corner at ABG. ABG's Libation Emporium, but they put the smackdown on us. We tried to walk in with our gear, record a little podcast, and they said, sir, first of all, we don't allow backpacks in here. And then you, of course, being the guy that you are, tried to make a little magic happen. You try to say, hey, man, we're just doing a little podcast. They're like, oh, sir, you would have to pay us for the right
to record
in here. So, you know, still, I got much love for ABG's Libation Emporium.
Not as much love. Even right now, we're giving ABG some love and some promotion. We would give them even more love and talk even more if that cranky woman was not working the front counter or whatever. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, this has kind of become the impromptu headquarters of the UFC staffers and media that are out here, you know. So it could have been a lot funner, and I would have loved if we could have shown that, you know, atmosphere for everybody. It's a good bar. But should ABG listen to this? Change your damn policies. You're in a college town, and you don't want a fucking backpack in your place. And even when we offer, hey, I'll show you what's in the backpack. You can look around. You can do whatever. And you say no still. But while we are in your establishment, there's people with backpacks. That's like a giant fuck you if you don't live in Provo. Maybe I didn't have my Mormon card. Maybe I didn't have my fucking Bible card. Maybe I didn't have my whatever. But I'm not bitter. But
you think you got religiously profiled?
I got anti-religiously profiled or something. They didn't see enough goodness in me.
Yeah, ABG has become, which, by the way, you know, if you are a Provo kind of person or a Salt Lake kind of person, next
a
time
provost?
You're in there. Yeah, a provost, a provocateur. I don't know. Next time you're there,
Provian?
Just tell them that you wish the MMA Roadshow would have been there. But it has become impromptu headquarters because it's basically right outside the back door of the hotel. So everybody is there. So if you happen to be a Utah native and you're just wanting to meet some...
You could probably carry your backpack in there.
Well, you probably could. And if you want to meet some UFC people, that's where you want to go. just head over there and you will meet a lot of people. Now listen, people may say, well, why are you not in Salt Lake City? Bottom line, the whole town is sold out. There was a whole bunch of other stuff going on. I think some kind of outdoor convention,
Yeah, like a fashion convention, festival, whatever, conference sort of deal. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we do this a lot of times. We go to places, we look at the Airbnb, we look at whatever, and that never before have we seen anything like what we saw in Salt Lake City. Just the fact that all the properties were up in cost. They were a lot more than what they normally were, and you can check that and see how they're higher. Just the availability just wasn't there. The availability is for the hotels. You try to look at the hotels, nothing. So we knew something was going on, but I tried to search immediately, like the Chamber of Commerce, all this other kind of crap, and nothing was really pulling up at first until we started finding some things. And funny enough, you know, we ran into some folks coming out to Salt Lake City for that fashion. Is that a frosty? That's not really a frosty beverage, is it?
Well, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, but still, to see people that were still actually coming out for this thing that was causing us to be 45 minutes down the road
crazy.
In Provo or whatever. But,
and even
but
the
it's
UFC,
beautiful here.
Even the UFC had to book 45. We are actually at the host hotel, which we don't get to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
But it was fairly reasonable rates, especially considering the fact that we had to be 45 minutes outside of town.
Yeah.
And even the UFC had to be 45 minutes outside of town, which should tell you just how busy Salt Lake City is this weekend.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, normally that transit hasn't been that bad. But today, coming back from the open workouts. We got knocked, got stuck in traffic a little bit, which was, I guess, good and bad because we were able to edit, you know, and do some work on the road. But if you've ever tried editing, and this is the bad side, tried editing in a moving vehicle, it's kind of like reading a book and you get that headache and you almost get nauseous. It got bad there towards the end, but what can you do? You know, you try to knock it out so you're not, you know, losing an hour just in transit or whatever. But it is beautiful here.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
You got a shitty window view from your room.
Yeah, you got the better view.
You know, I mean, I'm a good-looking dude. It just happens. You know, us good-looking people.
You got the aisle seat. We get shit. I got the window.
Yeah, see? It's a theme.
Things are not going in the right direction here. Things are not going in the right direction. Well, let's talk about real quickly the frosty beverage situation here in Utah. As you might have heard there, so I am not cracking open any cans at this point. I've switched over to the adult grape juice, we'll say.
Yeah. It's a warm juice.
Because the frosty beverage situation here in Utah is not conducive to the MMA Roadshow.
Well, it's weird I'm trying to actually check the bottle or whatever, but when you have one, you know, we're hearing all kinds of horror stories coming here of no bars, no alcohol at a certain point.
I mean, not
and then
that's
all the alcohol.
To us, but
no, not at all. I mean just it's for the listeners.
For the listeners,
we're just doing it for you
we're
guys.
We're just scouting you guys.
Just
out.
Scouting it out for you. But you know, everything we've been hearing was that like the alcohol was like 3% max or whatever. But you're still paying the full price for that half-ass alcohol content. But
funny how that works.
You know, but I mean, it is what it is. But we got here and we actually, you know, thank goodness for this. ABGs, which unfortunately with their oppressive backpack policy, we couldn't really be showing them some love. They are a bar that was within super, super close walking distance. So, again, that's kind of why they became the headquarters of the staffers and everything on this event. But, I mean, we came in here thinking like, oh, you know, not that work is all about having some drinks or whatever, but when you work 16-hour days, sometimes even longer, sometimes shorter, you know, it's nice to be able to kick back, have some food, and have a beer or whatever.
Jason from Arizona's listening.
You know, well, Jason understands because Jason has the opportunity to get alcohol when he wants to. And when you go to a place that doesn't have it, then you really start to miss it or whatever. But
well, we found a way.
We're
soldiering on. We're doing the best we can. As we continue to set the scene here in Provo, Utah.
Did I mention how I have a better window view than you?
Yes, you mentioned that already. And it's like significantly better. It's ridiculous. I'm looking at like some air conditioning shafts.
I got like mountains with like a giant Y in it, which we are wondering why.
And
there's
I
a giant Y.
It's for BYU, Brigham Young University, and there's the Y. And I think this is just my theory, but I think that, you know, you go, it's just a Y. Where's the other letters? And I think it's motivation as a reminder to just be you.
Whoa.
That's my thought.
That's deep, dog.
It probably has nothing to do with that, but
well, that probably came to you after some of this 3-point something alcohol too. It was inspiration.
3-2 frosty beverages are killing. All right, let's talk about this. As we talk about this is not quite Sioux Falls in terms of media coverage. There is a little bit more traveling media, and by a little bit more traveling media, I basically mean Dave Mandel from Sure Dog.
Props to Dave is
really the only person that I've seen so far from kind of our traveling road show of media.
Yeah,
that's the only guy I've seen. We had some at the open workouts today. There were
some UFC
a little
Latino,
bit of local
UFC
media there.
UFC
oh
Network.
Yeah, the UFC Latino
UFC
was
Network.
There. Viva la
I don't
raza!
Know where I don't know where they travel from. Are they based out of Vegas?
They travel obviously from
Mexico?
Latin America.
Do they?
Latino.
Do they?
I don't know. I don't even know where they live.
I was like, I don't either. They chose Salt Lake City to be where they want to come.
Oh, you got Yahir.
Yahir.
Or, as Bruce Leroy likes to call him, Yahir.
Yahir.
Yahir. So, yeah, not a ton of media here.
He dawdled go.
We were basically in the scrums today. It was basically me asking questions, which will – we'll get to just briefly. We'll touch on that in a moment.
We'll touch on it.
I honestly feel like, to be honest, that we just got here. As we sit down and record this on Thursday night, we don't normally come in late at night on a Wednesday like we did. We actually came in because we have so much travel coming up. We kind of booked like a late Wednesday after the flight. I feel like we just kind of got here. So hopefully we're not doing people a disservice because I feel like we're really just kind of settling in.
Yeah. Well, But also, too, it wasn't like we skipped any media events.
No.
I mean, this is one of the lighter loads. And, I mean, the UFC's got to – I mean, they try to push. I mean, I give them props. I mean, when they can, they will put events out there. Mm-hmm. They will do what they need to do to promote the thing. But they also are smart about why have a press conference or a media day or open workout if there's nobody there at all. So,
for instance, we already know it's Thursday night, like it always is when we sit down to record the MMA Roadshow. We already know there's no
post-fight press conference
because they just know it's not worth it. There's not enough media here. They're going to bring everybody back to us. But you know what? But it's smart. I mean, you think about the cost that goes into – I mean, just the
streaming
setting
cost,
up the dais, setting the whole thing up, the streaming costs. I mean, all the expenses that go into that. It just makes sense. Why do it?
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of people, if you don't realize this, I guess you take it for granted. The UFC is one of the organizations that always has post-fight press conferences. You know, I mean, a lot of times Bellator, a lot of times World Series of Fighting, Evicta, you can't guarantee that that's going to happen. I mean, I think they try to if there's media presence, if there are fighters that are willing to do it, but it's not a guarantee, and I guess we're kind of spoiled in the fact that UFC, or I just kind of expect it to happen.
Yeah, you do.
You know, so when it doesn't happen, it's like, really? It's like, wow, you know? But when you think of the markets that they're going into, I mean, it's the first time in Utah or whatever they're doing a fight, you know? I mean, I think it's new. And just even not to stereotype a state or a city or whatever, we're coming to a place that barely has their alcohol shit under control, and then you want to bring in a sport that's about fighting and violence or whatever. I can only see what the interests are. I think it's probably there's probably a lot of people that are sitting off to the side waiting to see how this event does before they really go all in for maybe the next one. Not saying that they won't embrace it for the next time.
Well, I'm super interested to see because normally the first time the UFC comes to a market, it crushes, right? Yeah. But we haven't heard anybody saying, you know, this is a sellout, this whatever. Now, again, this is not a pay-per-view. This is a fight night event. And, you know, it's not necessarily a loaded fight card. It's a fun fight card. I think there's some great fights on here. But I am really interested to see, you know, the UFC was supposed to come here a few years ago. They made the mistake of doing it on a Sunday, which everybody said was a mistake to begin with. They ended up moving that card to San Diego. At the time, I'd heard, you know, there was like 1,000
tickets
sold.
Are people here busy on Sundays?
Yeah, it sounds like they got something going on Sundays. Big football fans. Big
Okay. Football fans. Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, I'd heard there were only like 1,000 tickets sold or something like that. So, at the time. Now, so I'm really interested to see because, again, normally the first time the UFC comes to a market, they crush
You're right.
it.
They crush it.
And I don't know if that'll be the case. So we'll see. So, yeah, if you're listening in, you know. Don't expect the post-fight press conference on Saturday night.
Speaking of listening in, and this is something I was talking to you, and I wanted to give props, and I don't know how best way to do it or whatever. I was looking at numbers. And, of course, USA, the greatest country in the world. Sorry for everybody else. You're also my favorites. I got to give props, man. United Kingdom, UK, number two when it comes to listeners of the road show.
Really?
It's probably Abby and
I know my mom listens.
She probably listens a lot.
She probably listens repeatedly. And then in the UK, if Simon and Abby and Sandu listen, well, that should be our one country, actually.
Right?
UK should be our number one country.
And then Abby's mom probably listens.
Probably.
You know? So that's the number two.
So UK was number two. All right.
UK was number two. And then,
look at you, peeling back the analytics here.
Ireland. Well, actually, Canada, I think, was in there, but we won't count them because – we'll talk more about that later.
Okay.
Actually, I like you, Canada, but we got some news that I think is going to be happening there.
All right.
I'm going to go on record to say.
I'm teasing.
But then Ireland. And, you know, one of the ways I bring it because, you know, when I look at the analytics, you look at that shit, you want to bring them content, you want to do whatever. And I know Ireland's not just going to be happy with my shitty Connor impersonation. So I wanted to.
What are you talking about?
He didn't show up.
We got a message of congratulations. This was amazing because when you shared these statistics with me via email earlier this week, I know you told me to keep them private. I know you told me to keep them private, but I was so excited to hear that Ireland was number three on our list that I reached out to Conor McGregor and I said, can you just send a little shout out? Give us a little congratulations. Maybe let us know how it feels that the MMA Roadshow is so popular in Ireland. And I didn't tell you this, Cole Coffee, because I didn't want to upset you because you told me to keep it private, but I recorded this message from Conor McGregor.
John, he's shit. That's so weird. Where did that message come from?
That's bizarre. That's bizarre. But, you
so
know,
weird.
I didn't stop there.
So
I
weird.
I didn't stop there because when you told me that UK was number two, I thought, man, current UFC middleweight champion Michael Bisping is the champion of the world. He's announcing his own fights. He's saying that he's fighting Dan Henderson in October in Manchester. And, I mean, he's out there. He's saying things. I thought, what would Michael Bisping think to hear that the head of UK MMA, for him to know that the MMA Roadshow is so popular in the UK? And I was like, Mike, tell me what you think. And he gave me this message.
John, he's shite.
Wow.
And that's so weird.
And the messages,
fuck you, Michael. Fuck you.
The messages weren't that popular. But I didn't want to stop there. I didn't want to stop there because I know I know you didn't want to include Canada, but since technically, statistically, they were there, I thought former UFC welterweight champion George St. Pierre, who Kenny hasn't probably heard speak in 4 years. I thought, what would he have to say about the popularity of the MMA Roadshow in Canada? And I recorded this.
John.
That's just your voice.
He's shite.
Wow. And the crazy thing was that was George St. Pierre doing his cold coffee impersonation. And I think he did phenomenal.
I think he did a really good job.
He did phenomenal.
Thank you, George. I can't wait to see you fight again.
I don't even
know.
Even know where we were anymore. Oh, so more statistical analysis.
More statistical things. But wow, it's awesome that those guys chimed in. I'm so glad that they reached
Amazing.
Out.
I'll
and
include
whatnot.
Them on the headline for this because
yeah,
that's big.
They should. But no, I guess before we heard that great audio was. That just to give props to the listeners, because you know we always want to, you know, you read everything about create content for your listeners and this, but a lot of times we don't have interviews with Irish fighters because we're not on the ground there. We're
right.
not in the UK. We don't have whatever. But if there's a way for us to say thank you for listening, and we recognize and realize that you guys are listening,
is the show over?
No,
you just said
it did kind of. Well, that's your shit. When you say it, it means
okay.
it's over.
Okay.
See,
okay.
I can say it before, you know. But no, it means a lot. I guess, if anything else, I just wanted to recognize that. Maybe I got sappy because we couldn't do what we wanted to do at ABG's, that bar across the way. That it made me think about the people that do take care of us and do care about us. So I wanted to give props to those. And there are other countries. You know, it's funny enough. Japan's up in the mix. Germany's up in the mix. Like a lot of these countries. And of course, Australia, which has some of our biggest fans who have like practically adopted us as Australians. So we got to give props to them. So if anything, we realize that you guys are listening, and I wanted to say thank you. And I know normally a lot of times we say that at the end of the show, but I said, fuck it. Let's say it at the beginning of the show. Let's give them props. And yeah, it's great to hear from fucking Connor and Michael and GSP, man. He does a great impression of me.
Well,
who fucking knew?
Thanks for that, man. And I'll just tell everybody in the world, thanks for listening. No, I'm just kidding. We're not ending this show already. You know, it's funny you mentioned Japan. We did, while we were here, as we always do, we have a... Wow. Wow.
Sorry.
Reaching new highs and lows on the MMA Roadshow tonight.
Is that the high?
That was seriously low. That was right. Awesome.
It's a base. No,
both
base.
In tone and in context, right. And that was amazing. No, but you mentioned Japan. We did have a chance to reach out to, as we always do, when we have spare time, we try to fill that in with some gaps. I mean, the UFC, as you said, always does provide some great media opportunities, but we always try to fill it in with a little bit extra. This week we reached out and spoke to Cub Swanson and Teruto Ishihara. I don't necessarily want to play the audio for everybody because it's in Japanese, and we have a video up. I would definitely recommend that you check the video out. I'll also tease that we may have another video coming. Fingers crossed, it should come out great with Teruto Ishihara. But I just want to say I think this is somebody that everybody needs to keep their eye on. I think most people that you know are listening to this show, other than my mom, are super hardcore fans and probably already have this guy on your radar already. But to me, it's always fun to kind of pick out these people and these personalities that not only have some fighting talent, but really, really have something extra. You know, that little something we always talk about, that it factor, that X factor to bring to the table.
I love you, bitches.
I love you, my bitches. I mean, that's not necessarily politically correct, but incredibly funny, especially when it's not in your first language. Yep. And I think this guy is something special, and we had a chance to sit down and do a little one-on-one with him this morning. I had a great time, man. I think this guy really is the real deal. I think he's got star potential written all over him, and I think this is a fighter that you need to watch. He's on the first fight on the FS1 prelims, and I think, you know, I guess maybe as a service to anybody in our listenership that isn't already on the Teruto Ishihara train, make sure you follow him on social media. Make sure you seek him out on Twitter. Make sure you seek him out on Instagram. And make sure you watch his fight, because this dude looks like the real deal.
You know what's awesome about Teruto? It's so funny because you watch him and you just kind of get engaged with it. Even though I can't understand a word he is, he's just infectious. You know, he has a way about him that you just love it.
I tweeted. I said, I want to learn Japanese. Just watch
just
this guy.
Because
like,
of this
I want.
Guy.
I just. I'm
just
like.
Because of this guy.
Yeah, totally. I want to know what he's saying.
You know, and what we normally do is we'll take the audio and we put the translator audio underneath it, and it shortens the video. So it's. I think a lot of the listeners and a lot of the viewers then watch the video. You're not watching a 6-minute piece for something that we can condense down in 2 minutes.
Right.
But as I don't want to be a disservice to him. So as a little treat, and hopefully you guys don't mind it or whatever, because this interview was only about 6 minutes.
So you
long.
Do want to play the audio?
I want to. Play
I wasn't
going
to do it, but
I want to play the audio. And what I'm going to do on this one is instead of doing what we normally do, where we lay the translation underneath, I'm going to roll it from the beginning to the end. So what you're going to hear is you're going to hear your question, then you're going to hear the translator translating it, then you're going to hear Teruto, and then you're going to hear whatever. So if it sucks, just say, I'd just rather you do whatever. But just for this, because he was hilarious and it was worthwhile just to be there, and I want you to hear his voice just because I know we don't normally do it.
It is cool. You can almost hear, I mean, even without the visual, you can like sense
You could sense his excitement, and that's the part that, you know, hopefully you as a listener, you might be like, well, fuck, I'm going to go learn Japanese just so I can understand better, because he is infectious. And yeah, so here it is. Here's the full interview, and I didn't do anything with it top to bottom, so it might be a little long. It might drag on. Maybe we won't do it again, but
– big sale there. Way to set it up, bro. Pay attention, all you bitches. Teruto Ishihara. All right, let's go back to March. Picked up his first UFC victory. Give me an idea of what the feeling, like the emotion of getting that first UFC win.
この前の3月の時の試合の気持ちは、
急に決まって、20日ぐらいやったっけな。急に決まったけど、もうラスベガスっていうのだけでもモチベーションだけで勝負しに行った感じ。
He said that fight was came about maybe like 4 weeks before, so it was like a short notice for him too. And the fact that it was in Vegas, that was his motivation. So.
And how good did it feel? I mean, the journey to get to the UFC and then to actually get that first UFC win. What was the emotion of that moment?
この前の UFC で一戦で勝った気持ちはどうだった？
勝った気持ち。
勝った気持ち。感情。
感情。いやー、嬉しくないやつはおらんと思う。いや、かなりエキサイトした。
So he was pretty excited. There's no one who wouldn't be happy.
Famously, he got on the mic and said, "I love you, my bitches." Was that planned? Was that something that just happened? How did that come about?
最後のコメント、I love you, my bitches, はどういうふうになって出てきたのか。
思ってること。Yeah, I love my bitches. Yeah, ほんまに思ってることやから。
He said that's what he truly was feeling. So that's what he wanted to say. Yeah.
What's the feedback been like for him? You know, I think sometimes, you know, I've been to Japan. It's kind of a conservative culture. Sometimes he's a little bit out there and outspoken. What's the feedback been like since he famously said, I love my bitches?
日本ではどういう反応されたか、そのコメントで。
まあ、もともとこういうキャラでずっとこうやってやってきたから、この発言に対してなんか騒がれることはなかったけど、初めて日本人で地上波でピーって音が流れて、やっぱやるなみたいな、あいつはやっぱやるなっていう感じの。
He said, that's how he is, so not too many people were surprised by that, but on the national television in Japan, he was one of the first Japanese to have that censoring, the beep. So everyone's like, man, you got it. You're the man.
I got it.
That's fantastic. All right, training with Team Alpha Male. Talk about, how did he get to be a part of Team Alpha Male?
どうやってチームアルファメールと練習できるようになったのか。
どうなんやろな。今のユライヤがこうウェルカムで、お前らはチームアルファメールジャパンだってこう言ってくれて、今マネージャーのマイケルたちがこう立ち上げてくれて、今のチーム、このチームアルファメールジャパンっていうのができて、で、まあ、自然と当たり前じゃない環境やけど、そこで練習できてるっていう感じ。
He said that when they came over to Team Alpha Male to just train with us, Faber and I, we saw a lot of potential in these guys, three guys. And we decided, you know, we should create a Team Alpha Male Japan. And now he's just in a position where it feels so normal, you know, so comfortable being in Team Alpha Male. So it was, it started with those three guys. And then Faber and I just kind of saw the huge potential in the future. So now he is here.
Very cool. Another fight in the United States, Horacio Gutierrez. What does he think about his opponent and this fight?
次の相手のことどう思う？
次の相手のことは、まあ、ハードパンチャーやし、上から一回級上から落としてきてるのもあって、でかいなっていう印象だけで、まあ、一発もらうんだけは怖いけど、俺はそんなバカじゃないからもらわんと思う。
He said his opponent is coming down from a weight class, from lightweight. So he's big and he has that one punch, but he's not stupid, so he's not going to get hit by that one punch.
Yes. What do you think we see? I mean, are we going to see? He had such a great performance last time, but what will we see different this time around?
この前も最高のパフォーマンスだったけど、今回はどういうパフォーマンスなの
か。常にこう女の子にモテるために格闘技やって、モテるためにこうどうやったらかっこいいかっていうのが分かってるから、前なんていうんやろな、そうやな、モテる試合をするだけ。だから見てたら分かると思う。こいつ。かっこいいなって、こいつめちゃめちゃ面白い試合するやんって思えると思う。
He said that his goal is always to have a fight that will make the ladies go crazy for him. And he said he can't explain it in words, but if you just watch him, you will see. You'll think that, man, this guy is cool. This guy's fighting style is awesome.
It's funny because, you know, every fighter we talk to, they say their goal is to, you know, fight for the title and be a champion. Is that something that he sees in his future, or is it really just about making money and getting the bitches?
他の選手はみんなそのタイトルしか話さないけど、ヤシャボはその違うことを話してるじゃん。それは本当なのか、ヤシャボは本当に女とお金のためにやってるのか。
強さなんかどうでもいい。ほんまにモテるため、お金手に、大金手に入れて、こう女の子にモテるためにやってるから、こう俺がどれだけ強いチャンピオンになりたいとか、こうどれだけ俺試す自分の力どれだけできるのかみたいな、そんな全く興味ない。
He has no interest in showing how strong he is or how good he can be, but more about getting the money and the bitches. That's his goal.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, all right. Well, if he proves victorious on Saturday night and he gets to get on that microphone again, what are we going to hear?
土曜日に勝ったらマイクパフォーマンスはどんな感じ？
俺は暴走しようと思ってるけど、頼むから UFC 怒らんといてくれ。頼むからダナ怒らんといてくれ。
He said he's planning on going off on the microphone, but Please, UFC, please don't get mad at me. Please, Dana White, don't get mad at me.
Breathe!
So Taruto Ishihara, somebody that we're definitely paying attention to. The guy's just infectious, to be honest, man. I don't know another word for that. It's just his personality is great. Hell, I might end up buying one of his T-shirts, man. I don't know where the hell I'd ever be able to wear it, but I might end up picking up one of his I Love My Bitches.
I love that when he was going up to his room because he wanted to get a shirt, even though I probably could have told him, hey, most of it will be cropped out in the video. But he was very adamant to have to go up there and get the thing, and I love that you were like, hey, if you happen to have like an extra
one. I was
one,
like, dude, if he had one, that he, like if he was just like hawking T-shirts
like he was
out
like
his
a
bag,
traveling retail
I'd have
store.
Bought one
just,
right there.
he traveled halfway around the world. You're like, do you have a double XL?
Normally it's me laughing at your dumbass stuff. Today it was you laughing at my dumbass request that maybe he just had a bag full of T-shirts. Well, hey, listen, if you're listening and you like what you're hearing, we certainly appreciate that. What you should do is you should log into iTunes. You should rate us. You should review us. You could be like my man Dagoff888 who said, love this podcast, especially before an event. John and Cold Coffee always bring you the best behind-the-scenes story and interviews. No matter how big or small the UFC event may seem, you can count on John, his bright blue polo, to be there. Keep up the great work, you guys, and also those and a half episodes I love so much. Hope to see you guys in Salt Lake. Oof. Much respect for that.
Yeah.
5 stars. Hopefully we'll get to Salt Lake eventually. We're chilling in Provo right
Man,
now.
Man, those half shows are so hard.
They're so hard.
Well, you want to give some love, though?
I was going to say.
Let's give some love. We got reached out to, and I hope I don't butcher his name. Can I say his last name? Is that all right to say his last name?
I don't know. It's your...
Dan. We'll just say Dan. Dan, a good, loyal listener here from Salt Lake City, reached out, and he wanted to host us. He wanted to show us his town. But unfortunately, Dan is also acting as one of the judges for this event, so he probably felt that it was probably better to not partake in lots of drinking on the nights before
probably
the events or whatnot,
probably
which is
call.
Probably a good call.
Should save that for during the event only.
You know, which is I respect his decision, but he wanted to reach out and he wanted to show that. But by even reaching out and saying that, we appreciate it very much. We've enjoyed your town so far. You know, luckily we found some places to be able to have some adult frosty beverages, mm-hmm. which has been great. And, you know, thank you so much, you know, and we'll work it out. You know, too bad we can't have you on the show. Maybe we'll see about the half show after the fact, even though it's way beyond most people's bedtimes.
But like, bro, you mind jumping on at 5:30?
Yeah,
you want a.m.
5:30 work for you? if so, you know. But thank you very much.
That was cool. That was a very cool message. When people in the industry kind of reach out to us and like, hey,
yeah.
love what you guys do, respect it. Like that means a lot. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like I always joke. I mean, I love meeting the fans. It's fantastic. I have such a
just
great
say
time.
Dan F.
When we're on the road and we get to meet people and like people are like, dude, I listen to your show. Like, man, that means the world because we
yeah.
just do this for fun. We do it because you know. It should keep us out of trouble. Instead, somehow it gets us into more trouble.
You especially.
But it's fun. Definitely me. It's cool. But when people within the industry kind of say the same thing, it's cool. It means a lot.
Yeah, it was great. And he said he had been having some iTunes issues. He was going to try to get his iTunes together so he could leave us a proper review. So
That's
maybe eventually, I don't know, maybe he's that nickname that you just said or whatever that was.
Might be. That
Diagon
might be.
Alley or whatever it was. That's from Harry Potter, in case you know what Harry Potter is.
I definitely did not know what that was.
You're not a Harry Potter person?
This coming from the dude that was playing Pokemon over there earlier with the UFC head of
security. It's Pokemon Go.
You guys were...
Pokemon Go.
Oh, well, that totally changes everything, then. I'll tell you what
with our pokies. As you were saying, you're like, you're catching your pokies. You got to watch it. Some places you go for a pokey, you might have to pay a little extra for it.
All right. Well, speaking of hanging out with people that work for certain companies in certain places.
Yes.
The UFC sale, I did want to touch on this because I feel like we're still monitoring this, like how things are going. We're always trying to get a little bit more info. It's little bits and pieces. I mean, let's be honest. I don't think everything is filtered down quite yet to the ranks. But again, you do know a person or two that works within the company as a former UFC employee. Give me an idea, man. What's the latest you're hearing? Because I think we're all still trying to figure out what this means.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, and I know we've bounced this around, and maybe people will tell us differently, but here's my thoughts on things. You know, you have this company that came in and just bought it, you know, and they went $4 billion in the hole.
Right.
That's $4 billion they need to take. And it wasn't – this is not a Lorenzo and Dana who love the sport. I mean, I'm sure they're fans of the sport, but they're fans of what the sport is doing, mm-hmm. the income, the revenue that it's making. They want return on that value. So, you know, if you think about even when, you know, I have people that tell me about gambling or whatever, and like when you take the over under, you know, if you're given the over, whatever, you're already spotting amount of points that now the team needs to actually cover. Mm-hmm. So they just spotted $4 billion, and now they need to recover that mm-hmm. somehow. So, you know, so when it comes to that, they're going to start looking at everything that the company is doing, where they're expending their money, how can we cut costs so we can actually set up the possibility of getting some income actually back when they do these events and they do the other sort of things. You know, but what I've been hearing and what I've been seeing is that there's a lot of things sort of happening. A lot of people from other areas are training in different other areas, coming to Vegas. They're actually taking training. They're doing whatever. And I'll go on record and saying that.
These are people that are UFC employees. We're not talking about like WMEIMG people. We're talking
These are UFC staffers and whatever. And so one of the things that I'm noticing, and we were talking a little bit about Canada, and, you know, one of the things I'm noticing is we're seeing a lot of Canadian employees coming over and working a lot of events in the States. And my prediction and my thoughts about the fact is that when you look at the way the UFC and the way their headquarters and the way their certain particular station in certain areas of the world, you have your Singapore office. You kind of need that because you need to have a branch in Asia.
And that's a huge market.
And especially with the Asians, you know, with a lot of the cultures and a lot of the businesses, they want to deal with other Asians.
Somebody's got to line up Tarudo's bitches.
They got to be able to speak the language, yep. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, so Singapore office is probably fine
yep.
for now.
Yep.
Besides that, we also need to have a place in Europe. So the UK office, there's still a reason whether or not they need all the people there. They still need to have a UK office dealing with
there's
Dublin,
so many
dealing with all the other stuff over there.
Europe, Middle East, and Africa as right. the EMEA regions. I mean, there's a lot of – I think Dave Allen used to say they deal with like 100 and something countries just
something
in
ridiculous.
Their, yeah, it's insane.
Something ridiculous. But the area where there is overlap and where now that there's not as many events, and as you pointed out earlier, there's no GSPs fighting right now. There's no – real big draws in Toronto, and from what I've been seeing and what I'm sort of hearing, and this is no whatever, but I'll go on record for saying that what I think is that
you predicted the sale a long time ago.
I did.
I thought you were crazy. You did think that it was going to be a Middle Eastern buyer.
Right.
It didn't end up being a Middle Eastern buyer, right. but you were
but
right.
But my time frame was
right.
pretty good.
Yeah,
I said within 2 years, you know, is that the Toronto office, the Canadian office, will go away. Hmm. It will be melded into the regular American office. And if anything else, and what I'm kind of hearing as a possibility, you know, a lot of the staff might be coming into Vegas, but also, you know, what I'm hearing is there's a possibility that in the future, the near, is that they might open up something more on the East Coast of the United States, whether it be New York.
New York would make sense.
New York is the main one, because I know even now there's a lot of staff that's going over to gear up for the New York event.
They're already starting to ramp up for this 205.
They're already shipping them out there. I mean, they're planning like months in advance. I mean, the staff will come back after the fact, but the fact that New York is such a it's the biggest one. It's the biggest media market in the world, hands down. New York is number one. So you need to really have a force there to really push it, because there's so much stuff happening in New York. There's so much news. There's so much theater. There's so much art. There's so much stuff that for them, they really need to have a presence there. So now the UFC is making a push to have people there on the ground, have boots on the ground. My thought is that the UK, the Canada office, sorry, is going to go away, and that those people, the ones that can, will come into the U.S. and eventually they will open up an East Coast office. Now, granted,
makes sense.
There's a whole other company that's going to be coming in here. This is the current, I think, organization that's pushing towards this. Doesn't mean that the new organization that comes in, unless there's maybe already them already sort of pushing, hey, have you thought
but
about?
They're a huge media company. I mean, they have, their offices are in L.A. Why wouldn't they want some extension in New York? So that makes all the sense in the world. And the other thing that makes all the sense in the world is because the Canada office, like you said, there used to be way more events up there.
Yeah,
There's not. Now, Canada has always been in charge of Australia and New Zealand as well.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, once you start, first of all, just the logistics of traveling from North America to Australia, it is a long-ass flight.
Yeah.
And even just doing business, I mean, you guys are on the opposite side of the clock, so it's like you're going to bed as the other part of your office is waking up. I've always thought that it would make way more sense for Australia and New Zealand to kind of be tucked into that Asia banner. Like, I get
right.
it that they are different markets, and
right.
they are. I mean, you're talking about different languages, different cultures.
Right.
Yeah, but as far as just logistically, like everybody right. kind of being in the same time zone, everybody being able to travel back and forth, it just makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you have people coming from the States that are going over to help out in the Singapore office.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're native Asians or whatever. I mean, you have English-speaking Americans going over. It makes no sense that they couldn't have the same people go over and learn the Australian market but work out of that office, which is a lot closer. I mean, because those people are flying back to the States. They're flying whatever, and it's a hell of a lot closer to fly from there down to Australia.
And it takes a
super
long time.
Super expensive.
And it takes
it's
a long
super
time.
Long.
You didn't mention the Brazil office, but
yeah, that's
Brazil
the other
office. Brazil office is probably safe, right? I mean,
I think the Brazil office is fine because you're right. There's nowhere near the events that they have, but Brazil is another place kind of like Asia where, one, it's so closely tied with the government. They need to have – I think the government wants to deal with Brazilians. They want
yeah.
to deal with people that have some sort of – connection to it. They're not going to just welcome open arms. Granted, with the price is right, I'm sure they
sure.
will welcome in a completely foreign company, you know, in, but they like to have, and that's the whole
thing.
And there's
so many fighters coming from Brazil. I mean, it's still
right.
hugely represented on the UFC roster. It
yeah.
makes sense to have people
I mean,
there.
It's not going to go away. I mean, one being a birthbed of just so much of the martial arts that most of that ties into this. I think as a tribute to them, and also just because the fighters that come out of there are so good, it'd be a disservice to them to walk away. And there's no reason to, one, because I mean, they're getting their bang for the buck, too, because I guarantee the office, the amount of money, what they bring in, more than enough to carry the weight of what that company
yeah.
is, you know. So
it's interesting times, I'll tell you what, because, you know, I've seen a lot of discussion about this, and everything focuses on the Fox deal. Everybody focuses
yeah.
on Fox, you know, WME, IMG making back their money on what the rights deal is when this
yeah.
thing renews in 2018, Fox, whether it goes somewhere else, you know, what they make there. I think people forget sometimes, and I think it's easy to do as Americans. We're very American-centric.
Yeah.
We're very, like, you know, we're the
America.
U.S. Like, man, yes, the U.S. rights fees are huge. It is the biggest portion of the pie. There's no doubt about it. It is the biggest cut of the pie. But, other than pay-per-view, I should say.
Yeah.
But there are rights fees everywhere, all over the world. Nobody is getting free content, and this thing is continuing to grow. There are rights fees everywhere. You know, they just signed the new deal with BT Sport over in the UK, and that's just one deal. I mean, there are literally, you know, more than 100 deals to make in all the places, and I think sometimes people forget about that when they're factoring into whether or not this deal makes sense. How does
yeah.
WME, IMG make their money back? Bro, I mean, this is a media company. It's a fight company,
yeah.
but it's a media company. They are providing hours and hours and hours of content on these television stations everywhere.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, and there's a lot of other areas. I mean, I know we've talked about it. You know, one, I wanted to say, because I like to do the predictions or whatever, and I did say at that one point, I thought within 2 years, if I had to put a prediction, I'll stick with the 2 years. Within 2 years, I'm going to say I think the Canada office will be dissolved by that point and will be absorbed somewhere else. But speaking of, when it comes to this entity that the UFC has created, you know, when they come into these other areas, I know we've touched a little bit about Fight Pass and what
mm-hmm.
Fight Pass has become.
Huge.
But I think this will also be something eventually down the line when this company comes and starts looking at revenue streams in other areas that will possibly make some of that $4 billion hole. Granted, not saying they're like, oh, we need to make that $4 billion back in a year. But a lot of these, this is a conglomerate of a company. This is not just a Lorenzo and Dana. This has multiple pieces. So maybe even within 10 years, is that reasonable to think that a company that says within 10 years or so, they want to at least start seeing a profit on what their investment
is? It's like us living in Vegas, man. You look at these billion-dollar hotels. They didn't build those billion-dollar hotels to give money away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
WMEIMG did not spend $4 billion right. to just because they're fight fans.
Right. So when do you – I mean, what is the time frame? I mean, I guess it's such a large number. Maybe the time frame gets stretched a little bit. But I would like to think –
I mean, the last time I invested $4 billion, I thought 10 years was about right.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
That's why I looked at it.
I mean, just the other day when I was investing $4 billion, I was like, maybe 5 years. I mean, but yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, it's such a huge amount that they're going to want to start seeing that. I mean, because at this point, they're in a huge hole for what they put in. But we were talking about Fight Pass. I see Fight Pass as being one of those things, as it keeps going, that Fight Pass could become its own entity, maybe even sold off, maybe even some sort of revenue stream. Because this came a long way already to get to this point right now. But think about it. It was just imagine if they said somebody else wants to pay them to run that for them, and then they're just selling them subscription. They're selling them content. They don't have to worry about having people subscribe because, you know, right now they're like, we need subscribers. Some other company might come in and say, well, I'll take that off your hands. I'll pay the streaming fees. I'll go out and try to find the subscribers. You just got to give me whatever content in the UFC. But, hey, that sounds great. We'll take that off, but you're still going to use our branding, but we're still going to charge you for the content, some of the content we're going to get. But it'll be a partnership, so we're not going to charge you like we normally would somebody that needs a TV deal or a broadcast deal where they just only need it because all they're doing is rebroadcasting. We're a partnership to grow this Fight Pass. We're going to give you a deal so that people still want to go to the Fight Pass network as opposed to whatever crazy TV network or whatever. But I could see where that's a huge way where they're going to try to make their money back on this investment. But it's going to take some time to build it because that's still more of a longer play.
That's an interesting theory, man, dude. You know? You're a smarter man than me, dude.
I don't know. I just throw shit out there. But I've been lucky a couple times.
you want proof that you're a smarter man than me?
Uh-oh.
Let's get back to UFC Fight Night 92 a little bit. There's not a lot of media here, so what basically ended up happening at the open workouts today was basically I did the interviews for everybody, and I'm going to go ahead and admit I might not have been playing at 100% today.
What would you put your percentage?
It kind of depends on when you talk to me, to be honest with you. I'll tell you that at the moment that Dennis Bermudez stepped in front of us, If I was on an NFL roster, I think I probably would have been graded like questionable. Not probable.
Yeah.
Not questionable. Or questionable. Not and kind of here's what happened is I fucked up.
Facing Kawajiri here, Japanese legend, just coming off a loss, but obviously been around for a long time. What are you seeing him?
I'm not fighting Kawajiri.
Oh, sorry.
Honey Jason.
Why did I have that in my notes?
Because I fought.
Because you fought Kawajiri. That's why I had it in my notes. Well, we'll edit that part of the interview out, or maybe we'll just leave it on there, me being an idiot. All right.
Rather than just get dropped down in whatever, I would have thought you would have just got pushed down in the depth chart. Because questionable, that's like you've been injured.
Okay.
Whatever. But like what happened with you is they put you on the goal line.
Right,
they're like,
right.
You're our dog. You're going to get us in the goal line. And somehow you fumbled it. They ran the ball back, got a touchdown, and they immediately just said, we need to drop him in the depth chart.
That was so embarrassing.
We're
going to
put
dude.
You second
so
or third.
I don't make,
but he handled
I don't
it
make
great.
Dumb, I don't make dumb mistakes.
You know,
like
you don't make. That's why, I mean, like, it's funny because, you know,
a lot of us didn't say anything. I edited this out of the video.
I would do the same.
Okay. So. You guys were standing behind the camera. I felt like a dumbass.
Well, it's funny because you said it, and we were like even started like, I was like, that doesn't sound right. But in the same time where we're all sort of thinking it, Dennis just cut to the chase and was like, I'm not fighting him.
So ridiculous, dude. I'm such a dumbass, dude. It was literally.
But no, it was hilarious.
Literally like
it
the
was
most
fun. Of
it. I guess at least it was just like an open workout and like a fun little small group of us versus like a press conference or something. But
yeah. You didn't pull a what the fuck was a Robbie was it Robbie Lawler when he's asking can I Rob this question's for Robbie Lawler when our boy
Atlanta.
No Vegas in when Case
Albert Tumanoff.
Yeah. wasn't he talking to like
that was
he wanted to talk
Case
to like
Kiefer. Yeah, that was embarrassing. It was Albert Tumanoff and you know, he said himself he was like looking down and whatnot, paying attention, and then he looked up and he thought out of the corner of his eye, thought it was Robbie Lawler. And then like halfway through his question, he realized it wasn't Robbie Lawler, but he's like, fuck it, I already started it, I gotta finish it anyway.
That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. Kate,
so you did not do that. That was in a press conference. That was in the point where you even had Dana, who now barely even stays at a press conference. Yep. Dana even threw him under the bus like, oh, you thought that was Robbie Lawler? Oh, you cover this for a living?
Today was my Case Kiefer moment. I pulled a Kiefer. We'll just call it that for now. I pulled a Kiefer. But I had to say, you know, it's funny. We cut that out of the video. And as we mentioned earlier, props to maybe I shouldn't throw him under the bus. Nah, fuck it. Yeah. Dave Mendel was kind enough to be like, listen, dude, if you want to cut that out of your video, I'll cut it out of ours too.
But we have no proof. Are you sure he really cut it out?
I have no clue, to be honest with you.
He might have still thrown you in the bus.
He still fucking fucked me over. Yeah, it's funny. Hopefully his bosses don't get mad at that, but I thought that was pretty cool. This little traveling circus that we have, we all kind of look out for each other from time to time. We all have bad moments, and it was kind of cool of him to be like, dude, listen. I thought about leaving it in the video because, I do care about not looking like a dumbass, but I don't care that much. But I was like,
it happened.
It just looks ridiculous. Like, let's just cut it out. Like, it makes Dennis look weird. It makes me look weird.
Yeah, I mean, half the times, too, when you're trying to go back and edit the video and whatever, and then you have to put a transition or do whatever, and then it just looks weird. If you don't, you got a jump cut, and you're like, wait, what just happened right there? And then it starts drawing more attention to it, where if you just let it play a lot of times, I think most people are like, oh, he's just being human. You know, shit happens.
But I cut it out
whatever.
Anyway, so fuck
it. Yeah, why not? Whatever.
Listen, I did want to talk about one other topic real quick. I've seen a lot of discussion this week about PEDs. And, you know, obviously UFC 200 with Jon Jones and Brock Lesnar and all that. It's been a big deal. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are coming from the other side and starting to say, listen, I don't think PEDs are that bad in sport. It is what it is. Like this, you know, what's bad is this, you know, witch hunt and, you know, that we have with USADA and with everything else. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting articles stating about, you know, why it's impossible to curtail PEDs in sport. And they're really good reading. And I think people should research them. I've always been interested in at least learning about it because, you know, if we do have the science that can help these athletes, like, fantastic. But I got to say, you know, for people to stand in support of PEDs in MMA, I can't get with that, man. I really can't. And I've seen the arguments like, listen, man, just being, you know, just using PEDs doesn't make you a superhuman athlete. You know, you still have to go do the work. You still have to do the laws. But I'm saying, and I always hate to be the sobering I'm never really the sobering. But you know, I always hate to be that influence. But – I mean, I do honestly believe that there will be a death in the UFC someday. Again, I said it before, and I'll say it again. To me, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to happen, even with all the precautions that the UFC takes, and they do it at the highest level. I mean, you cannot question their motivation and their execution, but it's going to happen, and I just think that when it happens, that – as big as the UFC is, selling for $4 billion and having rights fees and contracts all over the world, that if it turns out that the person that's on the other side of the cage tests positive for PEDs, that is going to be incredibly problematic. And I'm not saying that the PEDs will be the reason for that, which is kind of the argument that I've seen here. People saying, listen, you can't argue that because somebody's on PEDs that makes them some superhuman athlete and it gave them skills and power and talent that caused this death. I'm not saying the PEDs will even be 1% of a factor in that death. But what I am saying is when that happens, I just think it would be incredibly horrific for the future of the sport if that person happens to be on PEDs.
That's true. And I agree. I mean, PEDs don't create technique. They don't deliver the technique. The technique will always be something different. But also to completely discount the fact that, you know, PEDs didn't do these things and don't enable things. Yes, that's true. But also, if there were no benefits for doing the PEDs, why do the PEDs in the first place? You know, if you're going to try to go out and say, oh, this didn't do whatever, I mean, they're doing them for a reason. They're not just doing them just for the fact that, hey, I want to pay this extra huge amount of money to get these things that will help me. I mean, the fact that they are enabling your training, they're doing whatever they are to help you recover, doing whatever ultimately makes you being able to have that possibility to train even harder, to recover quicker, which ultimately makes you more prepared for that whatever quick fight that happens to be within. Yes, if you take a PED, you don't take another PED for another year, yeah, that PED ain't going to help you. That's not doing anything. But the fact that you're doing it so closely timed to your events, so closely timed to whenever you have some sort of competition, your body's still reaping some sort of a benefit. And if there is a benefit that's flushing through your system at that point, it is in fact helping you within competition. And whether that competition or that better being able to, maybe you're able to better deliver that technique that, yes, while it did not give you the skills to do that technique, it enabled your body to be able to maybe probably be able to do that technique more often, mm-hmm. or, you know, in more rapid succession.
And I just, mean, the, you I know, mean, the recovery aspect, the fact that you could train more yes. often and more.
If it didn't help you, they wouldn't do it.
No doubt.
They're not going to do it just for the sake of saying, I'm just going to do it. I know this doesn't help me, but I'm going to pay all this extra money. Come on now.
Yeah, I just, you know, this is something that we could spend an entire, you know, podcast talking about. And I think there's way smarter people than you and I that have been debating it. But I just, me, John Morgan, sitting back and seeing people starting to say, maybe we should stop this USADA testing, and maybe we should just allow PEDs and martial arts. And you know, we've been painting it bad. I just think that's a dangerous, slippery slope to go down, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. I truly believe this. I don't give a shit if somebody playing baseball wants to take steroids. I don't. I don't care if somebody, you know, that's riding the Tour de France wants to take it. I mean, yes, there's arguments that you can make, but me personally, I don't care. What I do care about is when two human beings lock themselves in a steel cage with the, you know, intention of inflicting physical damage on the other human being, I think that they should get to know that in a prize fight that they agreed to on a certain set of rules and a certain amount of money on a certain date at a certain time at a certain location, they should know that that person on the other side of the cage is on a level playing field.
Yeah.
And I think that if a death does happen, and when it does happen, if that person tests positive, it's going to be problematic. So I just wanted to weigh in on that. Okay, listen, while we were there today, I asked much better questions to Yair Rodriguez. I love this main event. Yair Rodriguez, Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres. I think this is a fun fight. I think, I said it on my staff picks. I'm leaning towards Yair Rodriguez. I think he's the guy that's coming in with the momentum. I think, honestly, man, our friends in Latin America have been telling us for a while that this is the guy. This is the guy. And
yeah.
Every time he steps in the cage, he gets better and better and better.
It's true. He looked really, really sharp in the open workouts. Not that Alex didn't look sharp, and I'm a huge, huge fan of Bruce Leroy, but you're right. I mean, Yair, if you ask Alex, looked really, really good, and he looked really, really sharp, and he constantly surprises me every time he pulls something new out of the bag, and I'm excited to watch him fight. I'm excited to see. I want to see both these guys just throw random crazy kicks. You know, just backwards and forwards, of just spinning kicks and whatever, and kung fu greatness.
This is going to be next level mixed martial arts,
next
man.
Level.
I think it's going to be fun. And I love the fact that Yair Rodriguez is not afraid to embrace what a lot of people think he can accomplish, man. This guy has his goals set at the very top of the sport. So I definitely am super excited to watch Yair Rodriguez. And we had a chance to talk to him today. And the first thing I asked him about was that incredible, incredible finish he had the last time we saw him.
It was a pretty good moment for me in my career, because everybody was wondering if I had the power to knock somebody out, you know, in that octagon. And I just proved it. I proved that I had the power. But, I mean, Andre Fili was a tough opponent. Alex Caceres is a tough opponent too. So I just hope to do well this Saturday. I've been preparing myself pretty well for this fight. And, I mean, let's see what happens next Saturday. I just hope to make a show than all of you guys like.
A UFC main event here for you. What's the feeling like? Is this something a little special, a little extra exciting?
This is my first time doing this, like, open workouts, and I had the opportunity to be here, so this is a new experience for me. Another thing, I mean, this is my first main card. I'm the headliner of the main card, but I feel pretty happy. But it's not my goal. It's not just what I want. You know, my goals are up there, high up there, and I don't feel less or more pressure for this fight. I just feel pretty excited. I feel pretty happy for the opportunity that the UFC is giving me right now. And I just hope to do well next Saturday, like I'm telling you guys.
How about the fact that it's a 5-round fight? Does that change anything in the way you approach the fight?
Not really. I mean, it's just 2 more rounds. I mean, I know you get a lot of, too tired when you're up there because you are using your all energy. But I've been preparing myself pretty well for this fight, so I think I'm going to be ready for Saturday. Let's see how it goes.
Alex Caceres, you know, like you, he's very creative. He's very fun to watch. You know, how do you think you guys match up being so similar, some in your style?
I mean, I think we can knock each other out pretty fast, or it's going to be a fight like where we both want to be aware of each other, you know, because you never know what I don't know what he's gonna throw, and he doesn't know what I'm gonna throw either. So it's gonna be like pretty exciting to fight. So you guys, you better keep your eyes open, guys, because you never know what can happen in there.
You mentioned your lofty goals. I mean, it hasn't been that long since you were on The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, do you consider yourself a prospect that's still developing, or do you think that you're ready to be considered a contender?
I mean, that's not up to me. That's up to the people who is around me, to all of you guys. That's not up to me, you know. I can be a veteran in fighting, but if you guys still looking up to me as a, you know, as a not a top contender, you're going to be doing just as a normal guy. So let's see what happens after this fight. I don't know where this fight is going to put me if I win. I just hope in a good position because, like I'm telling you, my goals are up there. But I almost can feel it, so let's see what happens.
So Yair Rodriguez, the main event of UFC Fight Night 92. I'm definitely looking forward to this fight. Listen, before we traveled out to Utah, I had a chance, after we got back from Atlanta and UFC 201, after we did episode number 70 and a half, well, you got to rest a little bit. I didn't. I went and sat at the Association of Boxing Commission's annual meetings in Las Vegas. First time that I had been able to cover this event. I'm glad I did. There were some changes made, very, very important changes to the unified rules of mixed martial arts. Now, it's very important. I love the rule changes that they came up with. Former Bellator play-by-play man Sean Wheelock is in charge of the rules committee. He's actually now a non-paid commissioner in the state of Kansas, and he is heading up this rules committee. Big John McCarthy is on there as well. And honestly, I think the rules that they came up with were pretty solid, man. An improved definition of the grounded opponent, I think, was an incredible move. You know, the whole thing about playing the game, putting one hand down, one finger down, no longer. You can't do that anymore. Two hands down if you want to be a grounded opponent, which I think is much more clear. It makes a lot more sense. And, of course, you know, when you're a grounded opponent, you can't take kicks or knees to the head, and so you get that. But no more of that playing the game and putting down one finger and being a grounded opponent. You know, think about those replays we watched where it was like, what was the moment where he got his hand down? And maybe we'll still do that. Where was the moment he got his second hand down? But, I mean, to put two hands down, you're really sacrificing any defense opportunities and position opportunities you have by dropping those two hands. I thought that was fantastic. A great definition of scoring and how it should work. Not only like when 10-9s and 10-8s and those things should be used more, but you know, how the criteria should work, the fact that effective striking and grappling should really be the number one criteria. There really shouldn't be a lot more steps to it. You know, we hear about octagon control or cage control or whatever. That's kind of gone out the window a little bit. It'll be like the last thing that you look at. But, you know, you're really looking at effective striking and grappling, and you should be able to point some there. So love the changes they made. I think what's really cool about this is the fact that sports should evolve. I mean, rules evolve in every other sport, and they should evolve in MMA, and they haven't been doing it. And this rules committee and what the ABC did, I think it's important to the future of our sport and the development of our sport. And so I love seeing what happened. There was one where I thought the getting rid of the clavicle rule, it's a stupid rule. You're not allowed to grab the clavicle. I don't think anybody would ever grab the clavicle, but I don't know. It's weird to kind of get rid of a rule that, I mean, yes, you think it's a silly rule, but it doesn't prevent anything bad. So I thought that was a little bit weird. But overall, I thought everything they did was fantastic. What I did find bizarre was how this thing played out. I mean, it was definitely – there's super politics involved, and people aren't familiar with the politics – I mean, again, this is something else we could spend a whole podcast talking about, is how these different commissions interact with each other. I think it's very important to note that just because the ABC passed a rule doesn't mean that all the state commissions have to adopt these same rules. And in fact, New Jersey went out of their way to point out the fact that they will not be adopting these rules. And there came a point in time when these rules were being presented that a deputy commissioner from New Jersey decided to take the microphone and express her dismay with McCarthy's presentation and with the rules, and to make it very, very clear that they would not be supported. Then they proceeded to have essentially what was a pissing match right in front of everybody. And I just happened to be recording audio at the time, and I thought it was too damn good not to share.
Since you opened that door about Dr. Coletta being from New Jersey,
New Jersey State Athletic Control Board in support of your rules changes. And being the first state in the union to professionalize MMA, also to write those unified rules for MMA, I would like to inform everyone here, aside from those eye pokes and the clavicle rule, the state of New Jersey does not support any of the rule changes.
I'll make it clear real quick. New Jersey was not the first to legalize MMA.
Oh, yes, it was.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Oh, yes, okay. It was.
That man stayed back there. Yes, it was.
Is Mark Ratner in the room?
Yes, he is.
Can you lend some education to this gentleman?
Yeah, please do.
Yes, it was.
Thank you, John. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Hey, what's going to occur, guys, what's going to occur now is you have until, well, tomorrow we also have another session with some of the fighters who are going to come in with their comments. These guys will be back up. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to speak with them directly. Like, this last question should have been approached to him without going public on it, but that's okay.
Cold coffee. A little bit bizarre. People having these, you know, kind of public pissing contest, as I said. Even though it's just a little bit of audio, I wanted to record video of the whole thing, but I just thought it was important for people to share that, you know, the people that regulate the sport, God bless them all, man. I mean, they're not making a ton of money to do it, and I know it's not necessarily a fun job, but I just honestly, this was one of the most bizarre situations that I've ever witnessed that I at least wanted to share a couple of minutes of it and hope people can understand. I'm not trying to paint anybody in the right or in the wrong, but God damn it, man. This sport, we all love it. We all want it to work. I feel like we got to get on the same page, and I just feel like this grandstanding, it needs to go away, man. The sport needs to evolve. People need to work together with the best interest of the athletes at heart, the best interest of the sport at heart. And I don't know, maybe it's just me and my silly self that I think people should be able to get over whatever politics are there. And it's like, listen, if something's a good idea, it's a good idea, and let's agree on it.
Yeah, but I wonder if this isn't the same stuff that boxing had to go through when boxing was coming up, you know, especially when it comes to, oh, we're one of the first, we're one of this and that, you know, and everybody wants to have some sort of, like, hierarchy over the others, you know, even though maybe they aren't the best and brightest, but they've been in that position for so long, and nobody boots them out of that position, you know, because they've kind of been grandfathered in. But I think the idea of going back and what they're doing and reevaluating the rules and things like that, it's a normal thing, and I commend them for doing it because it needs to happen. I think the same thing when it comes to politics. You know, you have policies in place that, you know, especially when they've been written hundreds of years ago or whatever, you know, it's good to revisit those and say, is this still relevant? Does this even make sense in our current, you know, situation?
Absolutely.
You know, so even outside of the fact when we think of MMA and a sport, you know, when we just think about government and whatnot, you know, I mean, I think it's good to be able to revisit those things.
Every other sport, they change the rules every damn year.
Yeah.
We need to be doing the same thing. All right, I will say a couple cool things. one from a boxing presentation. You know, we hear a lot about judging, and we hear people give suggestions for judges. We need more judges. We need to put them in a soundproof room or whatever. They're actually testing in boxing, putting headphones, like noise-canceling headphones, on judges so that they can't hear the crowd reaction. Man. I thought that was pretty cool because I think the idea of putting them in like a booth and making them watch TV, I mean, what if the feed drops? You know what I mean? Technology has issues. What if the feed drops? Now you got judges that can't see the fight. That's not good. Then you start bringing into question, what if it's, you know, the producer's making the call and the camera shots? You know, what if he's making bad calls, or he or she, I should say, is making bad calls? You know, that could influence things. And the thing that they admitted, and it's funny because we've talked about it on this podcast before, the thing that they admitted in their test is that some of the judges have complained. The problem with that is we can't hear the impact of the strikes the way we used to hear the impact of the strikes. We're not hearing the crowd, because I've always said this. Like, I don't think judges are necessarily influenced by hometown, trying to make sure the hometown guy wins. But you see it in fights all the time. When the crowd favorite comes out and throws three punches and every one of them is blocked, but they go, yeah! And then the away guy, you know, hits a clean cross counter and nobody says anything. It's not good. You know what I mean? So I think that would fix that. But I think that's a great point, too, that, man, if you're not able to hear the impact of the punches, the sound means a lot sometimes. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing, too, is I talked to some people about things that this rules committee might be looking at doing moving forward. 12-6 elbows, which is a stupid rule. They're looking at potentially getting rid of that at some point. Instant replay, trying to figure out, you know, how to institute that everywhere, especially in these smaller shows, when they don't always have instant. You know, is there any way to make this work? And even, I thought this was intriguing, even the potential of an overtime in fights that are ruled draws, saying that maybe we should look at saying, maybe we could write into the regulations that we could allow for like a 3-minute overtime if a fight's ruled a draw, that you could fight out that overtime and figure out who the winner is, so we never have a fight that's a draw. I thought
it's never a draw, yeah.
That's intriguing. I thought that was intriguing. So some cool stuff from the ABC. All right, listen, UFC Fight Night 92, we did have a chance to speak to Bruce Leroy. You were sitting there right next to him. As you said, Yair Rodriguez looked incredible in his open workout. Bruce Leroy was looking pretty slick in his, too. He's 2-0 at featherweight, not cutting weight. He used to kill himself to get down to 135, man. He used to look brutal. He's not doing that anymore. Says he's very, very comfortable at 145. You stood next to him. You watched his workout. What did you think seeing Bruce Leroy?
He looked good. I mean, even when he came down there, I mean, he was comfortable. He was happy. Dropped down into a split, which I think made the crowd sort of like, whoa. And then he rolled it forward into a standing handstand or whatever and kind of walked it. He looked in shape. He looked happy. I mean, and then when he got into the media scrum, he even mentioned pretty much as much that he was just, you know, calm. He was having a good time. The weight, you know, not having to do as much of a weight cut. You know, I think his body was appreciating that. He's an exciting fighter. I'm really, really excited for this. This is one of those ones that, you know, I think a lot of times people want to see the bigger weight classes headline these fight cards. But I think this one is going to be very, very exciting because I think we're probably going to see the finish that we all want to see. You know, I mean, and you have two talented guys that both are able to pull that trigger. I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Alex gets the submission, and I wouldn't be surprised if Yair gets, you know, a knockout when, you know, maybe Alex overextends himself, you know, and gets caught with something. You know, he might get a TKO finish, you know, maybe a stoppage of some sort. But no, it should be good. But yeah, Alex looked good. I mean, I've always been a big, big fan of his, and I continue to be. And I love it when you try to poke and prod on a question and he pulls back some metaphysical, like, weed bong smoking answer. And you're just like, I love this dude. You know,
he's,
I mean,
great.
He's great. So yeah, I'm very, very excited. This was a card that initially for me was kind of under the radar, but now as it's now in my face and I can't ignore it with all the other noise that goes on in a typical UFC month, I think it's going to be an outstanding fight, and should be great. Great, great fun.
I look forward to it too. So let's hear a few minutes from Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres.
You know, obviously you had a couple of rough goes, but now you got a two-fight winning streak together. What's the feeling like now that you're back on this nice run?
Well, it's same old, you know. Fighting is a crazy game. We have our ups and downs. The best we can do is just get back on our feet and get right in there again. So, really, it's all the same.
Is there anything you can point to? Is it just as simple as, you know, changing weight classes? Or is there something different that's clicking right now?
Well, I mean, I had good runs at 135 as well. I don't think it's anything crazy. I've been training really hard and working on my skill sets, trying to become a better person and a martial artist every day. But really the weight cut, not cutting weight, I should say, is a big difference. I'm able to enjoy the entire process a lot more, lighter in spirits, I guess you would say. So definitely it's a big change, not cutting weight, and it's a beautiful thing.
Right. USC came to you with this opportunity to be in the main event. What was your initial reaction when they wanted this for you?
I was more excited that I get the fight for 5 rounds. Being in the main event doesn't really put any more importance on the fight. You know, I'm glad that I did get an opponent like you here. Our styles match up very well, and it's going to be a 5-round battle, and that's what I'm most excited about.
What's the fun part about 5 rounds? Why are we looking forward to that?
Well, as a martial artist, or as a human being, I'm always trying to get better. So I really like to test my mettle in a longer fight, and I believe I tend to come alive more in the later rounds. So it might be more beneficial for me if I fight 5 rounds. And I've just been dying to do it. I don't know. It's something I want to do for a long time.
You mentioned Yair and his style. Break it down. What do you see in him?
I see a lot of myself, you know. Other than that, he's very unpredictable and creative. Nothing more than that. You know, he's a good guy.
You mentioned your styles coming together. I think we're all expecting, you know, kind of a back and forth fight of the night, creative, fun fight. When this thing plays out in your head, how do you see it?
I see an outcome in like many different situations, but then I try not to think of that since it hasn't manifested itself yet. I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you. With fighters like me and you here, we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody, you can expect whatever. You know, it could be anything.
All right. Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres, as you said, I think you said it right, Cole Coffey, man. This is This whole fight card is flying under the radar, and understandably so. It doesn't have a lot of huge star power, but man, if you're sleeping on this main event, you're silly. Yair Rodriguez versus Alex Caceres. I do favor Yair Rodriguez, but man, Alex Caceres is crafty. He's fun. You just never know what he's going to do, and I don't know, man. The kid surprises me all the time. I love the co-main event, Dennis Bermudez versus Honey Jason. I think that's a fantastic fight. Chris Camozzi versus Talos Latus. I mean, I do favor Talos Latus in that fight. He was my pick, but Chris Camozzi is just a good dude, man, and he's always going to come out and look to bang. Zach Cummings versus Santiago Ponzinibbio, to me, that's got some interest in
that
as well.
Be a good one.
I like that, man. And, of course, our new boy, Teruto Ishihara, is on there as well. Court McGee, the local, is getting to fight in Utah. That's amazing. The preliminary card, Tatsuya Kawajiri and Cub Swanson on the UFC Fight Pass featured fight. There's a lot of fun fights here, man. There really is. I think, honestly, kind of like Sioux Falls, this has a very familiar feel to a fight not that long ago in Sioux Falls where nobody's talking about it, and it ended up being a fun night.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Are you sure that Kawajiri, isn't he fighting Dennis Ramirez?
Shut up.
Is he fighting
Asshole.
Ramirez? No? Okay.
Dig.
Should be a fun night.
This is supposed to be my friend, my co-host.
That's what friends do, right? Poke and prod, poke and prod, poke and prod.
The bust.
I feel John. That was getting more leprechaunish. Mike Connor is becoming more leprechaunish.
That's fantastic. All right, well, listen, it is getting late in the night in
it's
Provo,
so late.
Utah. It is getting early in the morning.
Because what are
Provo,
we doing
Utah.
Early in the morning? What are we doing tomorrow?
Early weigh-ins.
Early weigh-ins,
early
y'all.
Weigh-ins, ceremonial weigh-ins. We got whatever you want to call them. I think we're calling them official.
What did Anik call them?
Official weigh-ins and ceremonial weigh-ins. I think judging by John Anik's tweet, they're calling them
posing?
Public weigh-ins.
Public weigh-ins.
I don't know. We're calling them official weigh-ins and ceremonial weigh-ins, but we'll be there for all that. But, yeah, don't even worry about that. All we can say is, seriously, even though we kind of said it earlier.
John, I feel...
Is that JoJo Calderwood calling it? That's awesome.
All right, what were you saying?
JoJo, thanks for listening. Thanks for that, man. And I'll just tell everybody in the world, thanks for listening. And the green tea ones are good.
Green teas are good. Wasabi ones are good. Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two I've bought so far.
So good. God, these are so good.
We might not be in Tokyo for a while, so.
I love you, Tokyo. I love you, bitches.
I love you, my bitches. I think I got to say I love you, my bitches, like 3 times in one interview.
You went a little crazy with that.
I wasn't exactly working at full strength at that point.
How can I phrase in the question and somehow say some profanity back at you?
Be like, hey, listen, in your previous fight, before you had ever said, I love you, my bitches, had you ever considered saying, I love you, my bitches?
I mean, what was the thought behind I love you, my bitches?
Oh, too good. All right, you got a file number for the first file?
670.
Have you been rolling on this?
Yeah, I was, and then I stopped, and then I started again.
All right, so 670 will be the first one of the actual
of
podcast.
Like content. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Good. We're rolling.
Man, I'm all right. I'm going to stop myself and grab more of that fucking Kit Kat. It's
Go ahead,
absolutely
son.
Delicious. But then I'll just be crunching through your intro.
That's true. All right, we're good. We'll be right back.